since we're in this series called Meant for Good, right, we're going to journey through the life of Joseph. Beautiful. The series main focus, we're gonna be all over Genesis 37 and 39, but in Genesis 50, at the very end of the story, the scripture, and I just love this, is we're going to start with the end of this, all right? So the end of the story of Joseph finds him and his brothers that are in front of him. And we'll go through the story. If you don't know it, I would encourage you to read it in Genesis if you haven't, or if you need to reread it. But his brothers are before him, and he's in charge of, like, all of Egypt, has all this success and favor, and he could have made them pay for all the terrible things that they did, but he did not. And the scripture is this, and it's not on the notes. It says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people." So here we have Joseph after all these years, all the terrible things that he went through that was done to him. He's able to say, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. Ooh. He brought me to this position." He realized that all the things enabled him to be at the point to be able to save not only Egypt, but his brothers in that moment. Isn't that amazing? Talk about grace. Talk about forgiveness. I mean, it's like overwhelming, all right? So this whole month, we're going to walk through and kind of pick apart the life of Joseph. But let me ask you this question, all right? Have you ever had life take a detour that you didn't want? Anybody? Raise your hand. Just raise your hand, because I think we all need to realize, right? Yeah. Oh, boy. Have you ever had a dream or a plan or a goal, maybe a career or a relationship or a ministry, and suddenly it just went off course, right? Maybe it was a layoff you didn't see coming. Maybe it was the betrayal that you didn't deserve. Maybe it was the prayer that didn't get answered the way you hoped. You started out full of vision and excitement, but now you're standing in a place that you never intended to be. I think we all, if not currently, have a story like that, right? So here's the thing. If that's you, which I believe it's all of us, this series is for every one of us, right? His story, Joseph's story, how God walks with him through all these things can help us understand the God of the universe and how he sees us, right? And if God helped Joseph that way, he certainly will help us. Amen? All right, so we're going to talk about a couple things. God's detours are not God's denials, all right? Just because you had a path that you thought you were going on and all of a sudden you're on a detour doesn't mean that that's a denial. Just because the road is twisted doesn't mean the destination changed, all right? I had a plan for my life. I was going to go to college, get a psychology degree, going to be married by 24, have two kids, white picket fence, right? That didn't happen that way at all. I was in missions and in ministry and all over the country, driving, ministering, single till I was much older. And then when God brought me Chuck, who is my husband, it was a blended family. All kinds of things did not look as if I thought that they should look. But you have to understand, when you're in God, you have to trust him for the future. Trust him for the paths and even the detours, even the things that don't make sense. Joseph's life proves that God can take every wrong turn, every betrayal, every disappointment, and weave it into his plan. And that is the beauty of what we're going to be talking about. All right, so turn with me to Genesis 37. Now, we're not going to read all of 37 and 39, and you're all saying amen, right? Okay, so these are long chapters too in Genesis, but I would say you should read them on your own, okay? Read 37, read 39, you can go all the way up to 50. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. But let's summarize a little bit, all right? So we're going to look at 37 here in a minute, but we're finding Joseph at this age, he's 17 years old, all right? He is the 11th son of Jacob, all right? You remember Jacob and Esau, right? So we're talking about Jacob. The firstborn of Rachel, all right, which is the wife that Jacob truly loved. So remember, Jacob was married to Leah and Rachel. You remember the story. He really liked Rachel, and he got duped into marrying Leah first, and it's a whole thing. So he has two wives. Joseph is from the wife that he truly loved, all right? And you're going to see a lot of complications from that. So Jacob's family is, shall we say, on Facebook status, complicated, right? There's favoritism, there's rivalry, there's jealousy. It literally is the definition of dysfunction. But in the middle of that mess, God is at work. Okay? So again, as we go through this, remember, this helps us to know in our own lives, right? If God did it for Joseph, he can do it for us, all right? Your mess, trust me, probably isn't as bad as all of this. See, Joseph is his father's favorite, all right? Remember, he's their 12 sons. He's the 11th, and he's the favorite. You can see how that would cause problems. How many of you guys were your parents' favorite child? I'm the only, so I got my hand up, so. All right, that causes a problem, right? Even that it's known. Joseph was the dreamer. He's the one that gets the colorful robe, the sign of honor, the mark of leadership, right? And his brothers, they can't stand him because of that. They hate his favor. They hate that he has dreams. And before long, they plan to get rid of him. It's the perfect setup for a story that will teach us some really great lessons. God is still at work, though, even when everything falls apart. I'm going to say that, all right? God is still at work, even when everything seems to be falling apart. All right, so let's look at Genesis 37. We're going to look at verses 5 through 11 for this moment, all right? And it says this, one night Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Listen to this dream, he said. We're out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brothers responded, so you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way that he talked about them. Soon Joseph had another dream. Okay, poor kid, he didn't learn. And again, he didn't learn, so again, he told his brothers about it. Listen, I have had another dream, he said. The sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down before me. It's getting bigger. This time, he told the dream to his father as well as to his brothers, but his father scolded him. What kind of dream is that, he asked. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you? But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant. All right, so again, here we have the story. He's getting these dreams. He's young. He's the 11th son. He's already the favorite. He already has that special, flowy, colorful jacket, right? You can imagine, I mean, the scene just, I mean, it had to have been a comedy, right? You're like, dude, are you not understanding? Like, probably not share that stuff. They already don't like you, right? So, but he's young, he's excited, and he's like, let me tell you about this dream I had, you know? And he probably didn't even fully realize, like, what the dream meant, obviously, you know? And then the dream happened again, and he's running out to them. Same thing happened to him again, you know? So Joseph's dreams weren't random. They were divine glimpses of destiny for him. Again, he may not have fully understood what those dreams were about, but God was speaking to him. God was showing him what his future was going to be like. You see, before Joseph ever faced the pit or the prison, which we'll talk about here in a minute, God gave him a picture of the palace. That's how God often works. He gives you a dream long before you understand the journey. He shows you the destination, but not the road you'll have to take to get there. You see, dreams are the seeds of destiny, but they don't grow in comfort. They grow in hard times. They grow in challenge. And that's what happens to Joseph here. He shares his dream, and instead of celebration, you know, he expected them to be like, yay, so great, bro. You know, he was expecting a party. But instead, he faces opposition so much so that they want to kill him. So much so that they end up making a plan. Go to verse 4 and 37. It says, 37 verse 4. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. Again, the dynamic there, they knew. Like, again, how that's a terrible thing. We all know as parents, right? You don't, your goal is not to have favorite kids. The goal is to love them all the same. You have to love them individually, different, but yet the same. Because you can't love each kid all the same because they need different love different ways, right? But, like, no parent is doing what he did. Like, he, you know, Jacob was making it really obvious that Joseph was, like, oh, the one, you know? Like, no, at least be subtle about it, I guess. Yeah, he wasn't doing that. So his brothers hated him because of that. Sometimes favor and blessing can make you a target. The moment you begin to walk in what God has called you to do, you will face opposition. Not because you're wrong, but because you're marked. You're marked by God. So don't be surprised when your dreams or what God has called you to draws resistance. It's part of it. The same favor that elevates you will also expose the jealousy of others. But hear me, no amount of human hatred can cancel divine destiny. All right? No matter. No human can get in the way of what God's plans are for you. All right? Now, you can listen to their negativity. You can hear what they're doing, and you can get in the way of it. But just by their mere fact of what they're saying cannot get in the way. All right, so skip down. We're in chapter 37. Skip on over to verse 24. All right? So Joseph's brothers make a plan. They want to kill him, and then one of the brothers is like, no, we shouldn't probably do that. That's really terrible. Let's throw him in a cistern or a pit, all right? And so he ends up in this pit, but then ends up getting sold into slavery, all right? So if we skip to verse 24, it says, then they grabbed him and threw him in the cistern. Now the cistern was empty, and there was no water in it. Now, can you imagine, again, he obviously was not very self-aware, right? And so when his brothers are grabbing him and going to do this plan of like getting rid of him, making up a story to their father, you know, he probably is like, why, what are you guys doing? Why are you grabbing me? Why are you throwing me down this pit? Like, again, I think sometimes we need to walk through the Bible and be like, what was that probably like? He probably was like, what are you guys playing a game? Is this for fun? You know? And then all of a sudden he's in this pit. And they walk away, they leave, and he's just there. The Bible doesn't talk about exactly how long. We don't know how long he was in there before he was sold into slavery, but it was more than a little bit, right? So a dark pit, cold. There wasn't water in it, but it had had water before, so it probably had creatures. And, I mean, nobody wants to be in a dark pit, right? But here he finds himself, the favored one, right, the special kid, and now he's in this dark place. Sometimes God has to get our attention, right, in life, and he has to strip away everything we depend on. That's tough, I'll just tell you, right? Maybe it's the approval, the comfort, the control. Sometimes he has to remove all that way so all that's left is him. Because we've put too much focus on other things. And he's God, and he only belongs on our heart. And so sometimes he'll take us to the pit to remove all the things so that all we can do is like look up, literally, right? It's kind of like this. Have you ever used a GPS and missed your turn, which we all have, right? And the voice scolds you and it says like, recalculating, you know, you're like, okay, all right, sorry, you know? And if you keep making mistakes, it'll just keep saying, recalculating. Well, aren't you glad? That's how God is, right? You might miss a turn. Someone else might betray you, but God just says, well, I'm recalculating. I'm going to get you where you need to go. Might take a different road, might be a little bit longer, but we're going to get there, all right? I'm thankful for that. So God often uses our pits to prepare us for palaces. So let's talk a little bit about faithfulness in the furnace. Let's turn over to Genesis 39. Again, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but I encourage you to do so. Powerful, powerful story. Verses 1 through 5 is where we're going to look. So it says, when Joseph, all right, so he gets sold into slavery, and Potiphar is in charge, and he's going to be working with Potiphar. So when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, right, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was the captain of the guard for Pharaoh, so very high up, high ranking in the Egyptian world. And the Pharaoh, obviously, was the king of Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph. Remember that phrase. The Lord was with Joseph. That's, you'll see that over and over this month, all the time. The Lord was with Joseph. And as a reminder, put your name there, because that's exactly what it is. The Lord was with you. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served the home of the Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything that he owned. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All of his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. All right, so here's Potiphar, you know, realizes that this kid's got some success and some leadership, and now he's like, I'm just going to put you in charge of all my stuff. You run my house, you run it all. And as he does, Potiphar recognizes that God is with Joseph because he has favor, he has success at everything that he does. And that's really what you'll watch as you watch Joseph's life. Now realize again, you guys, you have to understand, when we're in these situations, you have a choice, right? Joseph could have had a terrible attitude in the pit, and we don't know. The Bible doesn't go through the day in, day out of what his attitude was like. I'm sure he had to have a little bit of a hard time initially. I'm sure he wasn't celebrating being sold as a slave. I'm sure he had those realities of being a human, but because God was with him, he ultimately knew God was bigger than all of this. And so instead of having a bad attitude, he was going to serve. He was going to do everything that God had gifted him to, and he was going to do it well. And then God used that to bless. God used that. Potiphar took notice of that. And Potiphar even also started to get the benefits of that because of Joseph's favor from God. You see, even in a foreign land, Joseph's success didn't come from position. It came from presence, the presence of God. So again, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, it might look like a mess, but you have the presence of God. And because of that, you have everything you need. God's presence is not limited by a place, right? Joseph lost his home, his brothers, his freedom. It was stolen from him. He was betrayed by his family, sold into slavery. Can you imagine all the feelings? But not his God. His God didn't leave him. And he knew that. And so he trusted that. He trusted that God knew better than him. The same God who was with him in his father's house was with him in the slave's quarters. You may not like where you are right now, but if God is with you, you can and will still prosper. The presence of God is not restricted to the palace. It meets you in the pit, and it meets you in the prison. Amen? You see, before Joseph ever managed a nation, which he'll go on to do, he managed a household, which was Potiphar's household, right? It's always in the little thing. God trusts us first with the small things before he ever lets us go any larger. That's scriptural. Before he wore a crown, he wore a servant's robe. He was cleaning the grounds. He was wiping things up. Every act of faithfulness in Potiphar's house was preparing him for Pharaoh's court. Isn't this exciting? Am I the only one? I mean, I just think that's so incredible. Don't despise the small assignments. Don't rush the process of what God is doing to your character, all right? It may look difficult, it may look hard, but I promise you, God's working. He's building something in you for a greater purpose. God sees what's ahead, and he knows the person that you need to become to get you there. I'll tell you, I'm going through that right now as your pastor. This new season that we're in, this Cavs rebuilding year that I'm calling it, it requires a new pastor. I can't be the same pastor that I was year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. I'm walking into year 8, and it's requiring something different. I can't muster that up myself. That's me and Jesus having to do the work. I got to get on my face and go, God, I need you. Greater than I've ever needed you in this next season, right? Same for you. It's the same for you in your life. It requires something different. Integrity is always tested when no one is watching. Promotion comes when you've proven faithful in the hidden places. Turn over to Luke chapter 16 with me. 10 through 12. Luke 16, 10 through 12. It says, if you're faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. But if you are dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? Wow. And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with the things of your own? It's hard. It's hard to be faithful in the small things. But that's what God watches. That's what God tests. God watched Joseph all the way at every juncture, how he handled it, what his attitude was like. He kept trusting the Lord, and he kept getting success and favor in the midst of it. All right, so turn with me to go back to Genesis 39. All right. So imagine, all right, Joseph, he's a young guy. They say he was good looking and probably built because he was doing all kinds of stuff. Potiphar had put him in this leadership position. He's running Potiphar's household. Well, the story goes on to tell that Potiphar had a wife, right? And Potiphar starts to look over at young Joseph and go, hey, he's attractive. And, you know, and so the Bible, we read it for yourself, but goes in where she tries to make advances on him. And so much so that he finally, like, runs, literally, like, gets away from her and, like, runs, and she grabs his cloak. And then, of course, you know, which is so frustrating, she yells, nah, he tried to attack me, and this is the proof. And so her husband, who, although knows the character of Joseph, puts him in prison. And during his prison years, again, we don't know the time, but we know it was years. He was in prison for years because there were multiple things that Joseph did in prison, and God used him while in prison. The prison guards literally gave him favor, and he was like doing leadership stuff in prison. So we know he was there for years. Scholars, they're back and forth. It could be anywhere between 8 and 12 years, but it was a long time that he was in prison. While he was there, he stayed faithful. He did what God had called him to do, right? Yikes. He may have left his coat, but he kept his character, right? That's huge. Sometimes faithfulness will cost you, but just so you know, compromise will cost you a whole lot more. He was falsely accused, thrown in prison. But verse 21, Genesis 39, but the Lord was with Joseph. Here we find it again. The Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. Do you see the pattern? The Lord was with Joseph. In the pit, God was there. In Potiphar's house, God was there. In prison, God was there. Joseph's location changed, but God's favor did not. We can learn a lot from that. We can trust God. We can trust that he's got it figured out when we don't have it figured out. You guys know that when gold needs to be purified, right, they heat it up. And what happens? All the junk, and it just rises to the surface, right? So they can clear it off so that it can be purified. Well, let me tell you, when you're in a purifying process, it's not comfortable. You have to go to the furnace to get purified. we used to sing a song, Refining Fire, right? Where we're talking about, Lord, refine my heart, right? We don't really sing those anymore. Have you noticed? It's interesting. Because nobody really wants to do that, right? We want the, hey, help me, God, I'm sad, I need your help, right? We don't want to, like, go to the furnace and have our heart, the stuff, junk come out of it, right? Burned out of it. They don't like that as much anymore, but that's what happens. It reveals the value. The fire doesn't destroy the gold, but it represents the value. Joseph wasn't being punished. He was being purified. All these things that he was going through. And again, please read the details. Read the story. It's incredible how God was with him and the pain and the heartbreak. And I can't imagine what that was like. Some of my life, I relate to parts of that, but nothing like his story. Are you allowing God to purify you? Are you putting yourself in that refiner's fire? Saying, Lord, purify my heart, purify my thoughts, purify my motives. Show me what's not of you. Where am I judgmental? Where am I entitled? Where do I have a bad attitude, right? And trust me, when you get in God's presence and you get in worship and you start saying those things, he'll show you. And it's scary sometimes when that mirror shows up and you're looking at it going, oh, man, I'm sorry. Sorry, God. So here are some life principles for us today, some lessons that we can learn from Joseph's life. And again, we're going to get into it a lot more. This is kind of just an overview-ish. So what can we learn from Joseph's detours and dreams? Number one, detours don't destroy destiny, okay? Detours don't destroy destiny. The delay of God is not the denial of God. What feels like a setback might actually be a setup for something greater. Amen, right? Number two, another principle that we can learn from this series. Faithfulness is the bridge between the dream and its fulfillment. Before God fulfills a dream through you, he forms the character within you. Character building, Christ's character being built in us, that's painful, but it's worth it, right? We want to reflect the heart of Christ to the world. Don't quit in the waiting room of your destiny, all right? Don't give up too soon. Number three, God's presence is your greatest asset in your life. Even though Joseph lost everything, he didn't lose the presence of God. Do we realize that hell is the reality of no presence of God? Like, there's a million other bad things about hell, right? The Bible talks about. But like the real reality of why it's so terrible is that there's no presence of God. God's presence is your greatest asset. As long as you have his presence, you have everything you need. Number four, your story is part of something bigger, all right? Your story is part of something bigger. And we're getting close to being done. But turn to Genesis 50. We're going to go back to the end of the story, and I just want you to see this. We'll look at verse 16 through 21. So this is at the very end of the story, and this is when Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. It's really incredible. And again, I try to visualize what that might have been like. For Joseph to know all the time, the brothers didn't realize until this moment. All right, so verse 16 says, "So they sent this message to Joseph. Before your father died, he instructed us to say to you, please forgive your brothers for the great wrong they did to you, for their sin in treating you so cruelly. So we, the servants of God of your father, beg you to forgive our sin." When Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. Then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. Again, part of the dream, right? He's seeing it now. "Look, we are your slaves," they said. But Joseph replied, "Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you?" And here's the scripture. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many." Of course, that was all of Egypt, right? Verse 21, "No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children." So he reassured them by speaking kindly to him, to them. So not only is this total reconciliation, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the dreams that he had dreamed come true all together, and now Joseph is in a place of humility. Now Joseph is in a place where he could have chose to behead, he could have killed them all. I mean, there's all kinds of things he could have done. But because God was with him the whole time, God had been working on his heart and his character. And now at the point where his brothers are bowing before him, asking for forgiveness, he recognizes that this God was in this the whole time. You didn't even do this to me. God had plans and purposes for all these things. And he was able to recognize in the midst of all that hurt and chaos what God was doing. Whew, boy. Don't you wish we had those eyes to be able to see that? What others meant to destroy you, God can use to develop you, all right? Can use, right? That means you have to be willing to go there. What they meant for evil, God can just transform into something good into our lives. Do you believe that? Yeah, absolutely. So Arabella, if you'd come on up here, we're going to get ready to close here in a minute. I'm excited for this series. There's so much to unlock and unpack. There's so much that we can relate to the life of Joseph and how God was with him. But as we close today, I want to give you one last picture, all right? You guys know what a tapestry is, right? When you look at the back of it, it's a kind of a mess, right? There's strings and things are tangled. The colors are random on the backside. There's knots everywhere. But then when you turn it around, you see this image, this beautiful, complete, intentional, beautiful picture, right? Well, that's what God is doing in your life. He's creating this beautiful picture, this beautiful tapestry. And of course, on one side, it's a mess, but if you look at the other side, this beautiful thing that God is doing, right? Right now, you might only see the backside, the confusion, the pain, and the detours. But someday soon, and one day, God will turn it around, and you'll see that every thread had a purpose. The same God who was faithful to Joseph in the pit, in the prison, and in the palace is the same God who's with you today. He's with me today. We can relate to that. We can connect to that. That same God that walked him through all of that will walk you through whatever that looks like for you. So if you're in a pit today, let me tell you this, stay faithful. If you're in a prison, your own mindset of your failures, of shame or guilt, whatever that looks like, keep trusting God. Because what God starts, he will finish. He will finish the work that he has begun, absolutely. And what he meant for good will come to pass, amen? You believe that? Some of us need that reminder today. Some of you, you're in the pit. You don't see, you see dark. Some of you are imprisoned by your own guilt and your shame. You don't see even a way out of it. There's hope. There's healing.